This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between, offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Elevate every morning with Tommy John's Second Skin underwear. The luxurious support of Second Skin guarantees everything will go smoothly. With over 20 million pairs sold and thousands of five-star reviews, guys love Tommy John. Plus, your most valuable assets are covered with Tommy John's best pair you'll ever wear or its free guarantee. Get 20% off your first order at TommyJohn.com/Spotify. Save 20% at TommyJohn.com/Spotify. See site for details.
Hello, I'm Oliver Condy, the editor of BBC Music Magazine, and welcome to the BBC Music Podcast. You can buy a copy of the magazine at your local newsagents or download our app to your iPad, Kindle Fire or Android tablet. And for the latest music news and more, head to our website at classical-music.com. This week, we've gathered together members of the BBC Music Magazine team for First Listen, a monthly slot where members of the magazine team chat about and rate an important new release. So with me in the BBC Music studio today, Jeremy Pound, the deputy editor, Rebecca Franks, our reviews editor, and Rosie Pentreath, our online editor and staff writer.
Hello. Hello.
This month we've been listening to a recording of Tchaikovsky's two piano concertos performed by soloist Simon Trpcevsky with the Royal Liverpool Philharmonic Orchestra under Vasily Petrenko, and that's on the Onyx label. So is this new recording a romantic triumph, or like the premiere of the first concerto back in 1875, something of a disappointment? Jeremy, the first concerto was something of a disappointment at the premiere, wasn't it?
It was, yes. The whole work had a very tortured history. Poor old Tchaikovsky, it was kind of turned down by his dedicatee, who said it was too difficult, kind of sent him into a bit of a spin. I'm not surprised that he sort of went into a deep depression after that. And then, as you say, the actual premiere itself was disappointing. But like a lot of the great works, it kind of found its place over time, and eventually, actually, Rubinstein himself admitted it was a great work. So it was I think Tchaikovsky eventually won over.
Mm. I'm not so sure about the great work, though. I think it's the first theme comes in once and then is played again and then is never heard again. I think the piano writing can be quite leaden in the first. I think Trpcevsky does a wonderful job of actually lightening it and making it into a much more sort of palatable work, I think.
Well, I think the thing is with the first concerto, I mean, both these concertos have these really huge first movements where the piano just seems to be trying to break away from the orchestra. You know, you get these really long virtuosic solo passages, and then you have to balance that, this kind of episodic design with the orchestra. And I think that was quite hard to make that coherent in both of the concertos, actually. And I think that they do a really nice job of sort of pulling that together.
Yeah, that struck me, how the relationship with the orchestra and Tripchevsky, it was amazing, sort of how he fits in with the winds at certain times and the strings and things like that.
I think there can be too much of the musicologist, though, in saying that it's not a great work, because yes, structurally it might be weak. The fact is, it's remained one of the favourites of the concert hall for well over 130 years, and so that kind of tells its own tale, really, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm not saying that, because I do think that the first concerto is, and I think it is a great piece of music. I think it's hard to pull off, but I think it is a great piece of music.
It's very episodic, and I think it needs complete teamwork. And I think the exciting thing here is that Petrenko and Tripchevsky have worked together on other Russian piano concertos and are friends. I mean, they're sort of best buddies, if you like. And they work exceptionally well together and seem to understand where each other is going. I think we'd like to play an extract, I think, from the second movement of the concerto. Jamie, the last movement, it's a bit of a sort of a horse's gallop, I think, isn't it?
It's a wonderful horse's gallop, though. It's a very folky gallop. This is what I quite like about the first concerto, which is why I kind of rile against any accusations of it not being a masterpiece, is that you do have three terrifically different moods over the three movements. And instead, the last one's very folky, very dancey.
It reminds me of the last movement of the Grieg, actually, with that sort of
absolutely,
sense
yeah.
Yes. of...
In fact, the structure of the whole concerto
abandoned,
reminds me
really.
Of the Grieg. Yeah, absolutely. And I love it.
Yes, you've got that. Yes, you do have that main theme at the beginning, which is, I suppose, it was a way of thinking in those days, really. The piano introducing everything.
Yeah, and
suddenly
I guess
the piano being, you know, with Mozart, obviously the piano was important, but the orchestra had that grand introduction. But with the piano, the really from the start, the grand statement.
And also, I guess you just touched on there, the folky feel. So Tchaikovsky's one of these composers who's drawing on the Russian folk tradition, and you get all these wonderful kind of folk inflections and the melodies that come through that, I don't know, that it's very direct. There's a real directness to them that I think gives it instant appeal.
And as you say, if you've got a player like Tripchevsky who can really make it dance, then it really... really pays off.
And he does, I think. I really think he does. I think we'll hear an extract from this Allegro con fuoco from the concerto number one. So that was the last movement of the piano concerto number one. Piano concerto number two seems to be much more restrained, much more classical, much more refined, I think. Rebecca, you however...
I have mixed feelings about the second piano concerto. I think it has an absolutely gorgeous middle movement. I think that second movement, I could just listen to that all day. I think the...
What is it about it, though, that you think is extraordinary?
Oh, the second movement. Well, we hear it here in a sort of revised version, which is much shorter, and it has this glorious melodic outpourings. It moves into a sort of central trio section where you have the leader of the orchestra, the violinist James Clark, and here the lead cellist as well, playing this glorious, glorious trio that just, it's just full of real.
It's like a moment of chamber music in the middle of a concerto, isn't it? It's terrific. Yeah. And it's quite extended as well. That's what's surprising about it. It's not just a little glimpse of a trio. It actually goes on for quite a while, and you kind of lose yourself in another world, don't you? And then you come back into the full concerto again.
This is a much more mature Tchaikovsky, yeah. Rosie, isn't it? I mean, yeah. It takes you back much more to the sort of classical world.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel that the opening is extremely joyous, and it's in Tripchevsky's notes, he wrote that he once heard this concerto and he really wanted to be able to feel the sunny side and to be able to play it. And I think with that, and then, yeah, you've got this kind of, it's more melancholic, the second movement, extremely beautiful. You do feel like Tchaikovsky's come of age with this concerto. He wrote it after his marriage and after the year where he'd been in extreme financial difficulty in 1877. It came after all of that, so that might explain perhaps why there are these massive depths of emotion. I don't know if anyone agrees. It does feel very emotional.
Yes, I wonder if it's the sort of slightly weak opening, which kind of means it hasn't quite had the same impact as the first piano concerto. Because ironically, just after we've been saying, actually, Tchaikovsky never does much with that grand opening theme of the first concerto. That's what people know about it. Whereas here, you don't get something.
That's
like that.
Exactly. Yeah, I just kind of feel that exactly. It's a bit weaker. It's kind of a little bit silly.
I think it's stronger than the opening of the first. I think the theme of the first is very clumsy. I think it's a big hammery in your face Russian theme that sort of says, you know, this is a melody. Where I think the opening movement of the second is much more symphonic.
But you remember the opening of the first. That's the thing that sticks with you. Whereas the second, you think, what's he going to do with this? And he does do interesting things.
I think beyond the very opening few bars, once you get into the first movement of the second, there's so many colours he brings out and so many little interactions with the orchestra. You've got amazing moments where the piano has got its sort of flourishing solos and it meets the flute and things like that. Those are really special moments for me. I think it does offer a lot.
It doesn't remind me very much of Tchaikovsky, though. That first movie, strange enough.
It doesn't.
If I didn't know that it was by Tchaikovsky and I heard it for the first time,
it was Brahms or something.
I wouldn't guess it. I was actually thinking someone like, you know, Sindig or Alnaes or something odd like that. It just doesn't really say Tchaikovsky to me.
Should we hear the opening movement of the piano concerto and then we'll move into an extract straight away from the Andante non troppo, which is the Cilotti version. Shorter, in fact. So that was an extract from the first and the second movement of the Piano Concerto No. 2. And what I loved about the second movement of this concerto is Tripchevsky's beautifully soft touch on the piano, which you don't really, I feel, have in its full beauty in the first concerto. It's almost as if he's reserved that sort of special playing for the second concerto. Yeah. It's almost as if he feels he's more fond of this concerto.
Yeah, I think you can. I was going to say that comes across, that he really does love the second concerto. I think it makes it a special find.
And it shows off the chamber musician in as well, doesn't it? I know we mentioned that this is a little sort of chamber section, but it shows the sort of the interaction between him and the violinist and the cellist is really beautifully balanced.
And I think that really, yes, as you say, the sort of performing aspect of it really stood out, because for me, and I think I'm probably at odds with everybody else here, I thought that the RLP, I've heard them on record on better form. I think they do very, you know, they're obviously wonderful orchestrating and very good playing, but if you think of the Rachmaninoff First Symphony they did earlier this year, it was so incredibly committed and polished. Or the Shostakovich Symphony series, you know, for Naxos, just really superlative playing. I just felt there were some kind of moments of tuning that could be better, some slightly muddy sound.
I'll tell you what I really loved about this, though, and I agree with you to a certain extent, but I love the balance between the piano and the orchestra. I thought that they got it spot on, the recording engineer that Onyx have got for this. And in fact, I haven't seen who it is. But, it's outstanding. It really is. And they've managed to pull off something very coherent and cohesive. So shall we hear the very sort of sunny final movement of the second piano concerto? Was the final movement of the second piano concerto?
I absolutely love it. It's a great way to finish it. If you like the Litolf scherzo, actually, it reminds me quite a lot of that, sort of the up and down runs. It's very, very lively, very sprightly. It's probably not his most sophisticated bit of writing, but if it doesn't put you in a good mood, I don't know what will.
So, scores on the doors, please. Jeremy.
I liked this disc a lot. I liked having piano concertos number one and number two, the second of which I don't know very well at all, on the same disc. I thought it was really committed playing. That lovely moment in the kind of chamber section, the second concerto, worked wonders for me, and I'm going to give it 8 out of 10.
Rosie?
I'm going to go for 9, actually. I think it's, superb playing. The orchestra and the soloist, the way they communicate is just fantastic. I love this second concerto.
Rebecca?
I'd like to give this 7.5. I thought there was some really superb, really elegant and virtuosic playing from Szymon Trzypczewski and really lovely sort of coherent vision from Petrenko and the RLPO. As I say, I think there were some moments of... Well, I just think I've heard them slightly better, which is why I've given it 7.5 and not, say, 8.
Well, I'm going to slightly beg to differ, because I'm going to give this 9... as Rosie's given it 9. What I really loved about this was the recording quality, the balance between the piano and the orchestra, and textures I've not heard before from this piece, thanks to superb orchestral playing and wonderful articulation and textures from Szymon Trzypczewski's playing. And I thought the tempos were to my mind, spot on, really. So I'm going to give this 9. So complicated maths... division later, we've given this disc 8.375. So that brings us to the end of this month's First Listen. Join us next month when we'll be getting together once more to discuss another major new recording. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to this BBC Music Magazine podcast, which was produced in our Bristol studio by Jack Fletcher. For more of our podcasts, visit our website at classical-music.com or simply head to iTunes.